Welcome to the UX Podcast, where we learn how to turn a rockstar business into a UX machine. UX introduces a simple formula for personal and business growth based around one principle. We can't solve big, valuable problems alone. Starting with this principle, UX equips and empowers us to pour ourselves into people and systems, scale authentically, and create a life of exponential freedom and impact. And now, let's get started with the latest episode of the UX Podcast. What's up, Rockstars? Welcome back to the latest episode. We're going to have some more fun today talking about how podcasts grow. We're talking about free traffic sources. And the reason I want to talk about this is because actually most of the questions I get on podcast growth from clients and other podcast hosts usually comes down to one sort of question. I'll get to that in a second. So whether it's kind of goosing the iTunes numbers, getting on Spotify, Pandora, Alexa, like every other conceivable audio platform, putting videos up on YouTube, starting a Facebook group, all of this stuff are things that have been brought up to me and asked about, and some of them have some merit and some value. I want to get into that in a second. And I never want to discourage anyone from thinking of creative ways to put their podcast in front of more people. Here's where I want to make sure that we're grounded before we do those things, which is if the show isn't organically growing, I don't believe that most of those growth hacker methods will work. And iTunes is a great example. So as far as anyone can tell, because Apple doesn't really make this public, we have to kind of extrapolate it by experimentation, and a lot of people have done some great work on this. But the current consensus is that the main thing that iTunes looks at is new subscribers to the show over a 72-hour period. So if you can funnel a lot of people going to iTunes and hitting subscribe over a very short period of time, then iTunes will recognize that and put you in, you know, like higher up in their charts. So the problem is that do you know of anyone who looks for a new podcast to listen to by going and looking at the iTunes charts? Because I don't know of that. I've never seen that. I've never heard of that. I'm sure there are some people out there that do, but I don't believe they are the majority. I myself am a podcast super consumer and have been for years and years. I was listening to podcasts as early as like 09 or 10, something like that. And I've never really paid attention to the iTunes charts to tell me what sort of podcast to listen to. And so I think we spend a lot of time kind of twisting ourselves into pretzels over this one question. How can I get, you know, X company to choose me and put my podcast in front of people for free? That is the question that I believe a lot of us are asking. How can I get X company to choose me and put my podcast in front of people for free? So in the last episode on podcast growth, we talked about a few of my core beliefs, starting with the fact that most of the battles for whether a podcast grows is won or lost before a show ever hits iTunes. That doesn't mean that getting an influx of free traffic isn't something worth pursuing, but I do think it needs to be in proper perspective. And I want to give you a quick example from my own first show that I launched, Real Estate Uncensored. This is, you know, three and a half years ago when I started the show. So we started that show as a live webinar series. So we were live on YouTube before we ever hit iTunes. And I didn't do it that way because I had some grand plan, but it did give me a couple of advantages looking back on it now. Number one, I knew that we were onto something before I ever turned the live videos into podcasts. We had real viewership. We had some traction. We had some idea of where the show was going. Number two, because we were live on YouTube and I wanted to maximize that, I did a deep dive into keyword searches on YouTube for the audience that I wanted to attract to the show. So in fact, I still have that spreadsheet of keywords, and some of our early like show topics and titles and tags for our YouTube videos came from that keyword research. Incidentally, we also do this same exact type of research for all new clients, right? So when you put up when we launch a podcast, we're doing that same type of keyword research because we want to aim your videos that are on YouTube, the video versions of your podcast. We want to catch some of that free traffic on YouTube because it worked really well for me. So the third thing that I noticed is we continued doing the show live on YouTube for the first, I think, 12 to 14 months, something like that, right up until the first Facebook Live integration started to come out, like SmileTime. We were one of the first to experiment with that platform. And then BlueJeans came out, Zoom came out, etc. So we started to kind of deep dive into Facebook Live. But while we were broadcasting on YouTube, we got a boost from YouTube promoting our episodes alongside other influencers' videos in our space because YouTube was just kind of looking to push their, you know, Google Hangouts and YouTube Live. So the net result was that for at least the first year of the show, maybe longer, two-thirds of our audience was actually on YouTube and not on iTunes. Now, that eventually flipped, but even today, as I record this, about a third of our total audience consumes the show on YouTube and not on iTunes. My point in telling you all that is that we stumbled onto a growth hack, right? We stumbled onto this alternate way to grow a podcast that I wouldn't have necessarily thought about. We just noticed that we were kind of in the right place at the right time. And once we noticed it was working, of course, we doubled down on it, right? We did our homework. We figured out how to kind of increase the odds of our success. We tweaked our videos. We tweaked and we optimized our channel and tricked out the channel. And it worked, right? Over the course of a couple of years, not only did we grow the show and the viewership and all that stuff, but we also put 4,000 people into an email list just by building a halfway decent funnel that led people from YouTube into an email opt-in, which is awesome. I mean, that's pretty good. 4,000 emails is nothing to sniff at. And it's funny because even as I was planning out this episode, I caught myself saying, oh, those were free emails. But then I realized, no, those aren't really free emails. And that's the point that I want to make, is that everything has an opportunity cost, right? The time that we spend trying to get some platform or company to choose us and put our podcast in front of people for free, it's time that we're not spending on other ways to grow our audience. It's time we're not spending on ways that grow the audience that have a much higher odds of success. Things like getting featured on other podcasts as a guest, interacting with our audience on social media, or building a paid lead generation funnel that brings new people into our email list every single day. So it's also time that we're not maximizing our existing email list and building that relationship so that the people we already have in our audience are buying from us. I'll give you another quick example of that, because this is an example from a real client where we produced her podcast. And when she first told me this, it blew my mind. When she first started in business, she had a very small email list, something like 500, 550, something like that. And she launched a group coaching program. And if I remember the story right, she took in something like 36 grand in sales off of that tiny email list, just a little over 500 people. So we can really do a lot with a small group of the right people. We don't need to hit the top 10 on iTunes. We don't need to be on the top of the charts. We don't need to twist ourselves into pretzels trying to find every new platform that comes along, searching for free traffic. To me, the ultimate source of free traffic to our podcast is getting featured as a guest on other podcasts. That's where we get exposed to a real audience of real people. And these are people who are already listening to podcasts. So they've already overcome the tech difficulties of getting a podcast onto your phone, which thanks to Apple and their podcast app and stuff like that is still way more complicated than it should be 10 years into podcasting. So the more niche the show, the more targeted the audience. They've already overcome the tech difficulties. We know that they're already listening to podcasts. So we can get deeper into the content that we can share, and we don't have to water ourselves down for a general audience. So we can deliver our clear and compelling idea to people who are already interested in what we have to say when we become a guest on the right shows. And the best of all, we're introduced to that audience in such a way that it instantly delivers authority and trust, because we're being introduced as an expert. All right, so there's all good things. Now, I don't want to go too far down the rabbit hole on that. I've got a whole training on how to get featured using a team member, an intern or a virtual assistant to handle all the pitching and scheduling. So we'll put a link to that in the show notes, and that's all well and good. But getting back to kind of the growth hackery type of stuff, there are some interesting opportunities I'm seeing out there. Everything from putting podcasts as an app in the App Store on Apple to putting them on Roku and Amazon Fire, which we're working with a client right now to experiment with. The thing is that none of this is free, right? Even if it's monetarily free, it's not free in terms of your time, resources, and mental energy, and especially opportunity cost, right? But for a show that has a clear and compelling idea to share, a real engaged audience with growing word of mouth and some momentum building behind it, I don't think there's anything wrong with experimenting a little bit with some of these unique and upcoming, sources of free traffic, right? I just wouldn't put all my eggs in that basket, because I believe the best thing, not just for our podcast, but for our business, is to build a sustainable system of growing our list organically, consistently, steadily, and then nurturing them with our podcast and converting that nurturing process into sales. And most likely growing that email list super predictably and super consistently with the exact right people that we want to work with. Most likely that's going to take some paid traffic to do it. In other words, right now, Facebook ads, Instagram ads, maybe Google pay-per-click would be more effective, sponsoring other related podcasts in your field, things like that. So paid traffic, I believe, it's the next step for me in my podcast and my business is to experiment with that and really dial in how I'm growing my email list consistently and steadily, predictably through paid advertising. It's definitely something that I'm recommending more to clients because I think the time that we spend twisting ourselves into pretzels, trying to position ourselves for a platform or a company to choose us, to put us in front of people for, you know, so-called free, I think it actually ends up costing us in the long run. So again, that's my personal opinion. But it's definitely informed by a lot of experimentation, research, and all the shows that we produce and experimenting with my own podcast and the things that I've noticed worked. And I don't regret the fact that we stumbled onto a growth hack, essentially for my original podcast. It definitely informs the YouTube strategy that we recommend for our clients. But I also recognize it's not the end all be all, right? We still had to build a great show with a great point of view, great chemistry. We engaged with the audience. It grew organically. People were spreading it. People were listening to us outside of the industry that we never marketed to. People were following us and stumbling across us on, you know, other platforms like social media because people were posting and sharing the show. Like there's a lot of other things that contributed to the success of my original show other than the growth hacking stuff we did on YouTube. That was a supplement. It was not the foundation. And because of that, even now that YouTube it's not pushing our show like it did in the early days, we have a strong foundation of the show and momentum behind the show that we wouldn't have had if we put all of our eggs in the basket of trying to get YouTube to put us in front of more people for free. So that's my point with that. It's basically, let's build on a solid foundation. And then if we have that solid foundation nailed down, we can experiment with other ways to put ourselves in position and increase our odds of being chosen to get some of those free traffic sources, but really without depending on them for the future success of our podcast and especially of our business. So that's all I've got for you today. Thank you so much for listening. I mentioned briefly the training that we have that I put together initially for myself to solve my own problem of getting on more podcasts. I've actually got two interviews this week. And if you would like to do the same thing, if you want to get featured on podcasts consistently, just check out the show notes below the episode. There's a link to the free training that we did with a client of mine about how to get on the right podcast and get the ideal clients flocking to you and all without having to do it yourself, which is key. So check that out and we will see you guys on the next episode of the UX Podcast. Now, I believe that clarity releases energy. So I hope that this episode creates clarity for you by laying out a path forward in your business. Now, if you're interested in starting a podcast like this to help you break into a new industry or to establish yourself as an authority in a niche market, let's talk. We have a complete done-for-you podcasting service. That is my agency that I'm building and growing, and I'd love to talk to you about what we can potentially do for you. You can learn more at pursuingresults.com to get a sense of what our service is all about. And if you're ready, if you're really seriously thinking about starting a podcast, I'm happy to brainstorm your ideas and talk about the positioning of your podcast within the market, something that you can take away whether we end up working together or not. So you can grab a time on my calendar for a podcast brainstorm call at bookjohnson.com. That is bookjohnson.com. I just want to thank you again for listening to the show, for leaving us a rating and a review on iTunes, and more importantly, for investing your time, your energy, your attention into the show. It really means the world to me that you would do that. So again, this is the UX Podcast, where we learn how to turn a rockstar business into a UX machine, and we'll see you on the next episode.